have an early interest in music? And
yes, I came home from school one day at age 7 and said, Mommy, Donnie's got a violin. I want one too. You know, like a bratty little kid.
Right.
And my grandmother bought me a student-sized violin.
Uh-huh.
And I took to it.
Mm-hmm.
I just loved it. I practiced a lot. I just,
uh-huh.
you know, I took to it.
So was that something, did you start taking lessons?
Yes,
and
yes, immediately. Yeah.
Immediately?
Yeah.
And kept it up?
Yeah.
For how long?
Well, I studied the violin ages 7 through 17 and played in the school orchestras. But then when I went to university, I stopped taking lessons,
mm-hmm.
but I played in the university orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
Then after getting my PhD, went to London, England for postdoctoral
mm-hmm.
studies, and took up the study of the violin again, part-time at the Guildhall School of Music,
mm-hmm.
and had to learn how to hold the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Made me relearn technique,
right.
you know.
Yeah. So how did that connect with an interest in music itself? I mean, you can look at the violin and so
yeah.
on, but you also develop a taste in music and various other things. Did that happen at the same time, or were you focused on the violin?
Yes. I mean, it through the violin, you know,
mm-hmm.
learning the repertoire just led me into classical music and playing in community orchestras
mm-hmm.
as well. And then in university orchestras. I played at university
mm-hmm.
orchestras in many universities.
Mm-hmm. Was there particular kinds of music that really attracted you, that you found particular interests or genres that you...
Well, I love music of all periods. I have,
mm-hmm.
I particularly love, well, the Romantic period. People assume, non-mathematicians assume that because I'm a mathematician, Bach must be my
mm-hmm.
favorite composer, because I guess in their minds, Bach is the most mathematical
mm-hmm.
of composers. But, you know, I love Brahms as much as Bach
right.
and so on. So, you know, maybe the mathematical structure isn't quite so obvious in Brahms as it is in Bach, but it's just as surely there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So at some point, did you actually start looking at the mathematics of the music that you were playing and looking at in some more explicit kind of way?
Oh, yes. Yes, certainly. I had taken some courses in music at the university and looked into the structure. I wrote a major essay on the 6 Bach solo sonatas for violin and analyzed them in great depth.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. And then I've kept that up. You know, I love looking at musical scores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so before going to operas, for instance, before going to performances of Berg's Lulu and
mm-hmm.
Berg's Wozzeck,
mm-hmm.
I got out the scores from the library, and amazingly, like, all of Wozzeck is based on one tone row.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. You're not aware of it when you're sitting there watching the opera, but it is. It's all based on one tone row.
Mm-hmm.
Berg is just a genius.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It does the sort of the structural analysis and so on influence the way you listen to the music then afterwards or before? Or?
Well, I think first I listen to something intuitively,
mm-hmm.
but then I notice the structural things going on,
mm-hmm.
how a composer is manipulating the themes,
mm-hmm.
And that'll be, I will deal with that
mm-hmm.
in my talk tonight,
mm-hmm.
how that works. But yeah, after I study the score, I'm more aware of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and I think I can appreciate it on a different level,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. When you do there are a lot of people who have looked at math and music in some
that's
way.
That's true.
There are lots of
there's
books
a huge
on it, so.
Literature.
Exactly. And what I was curious about is there something distinctive you think about the way you're looking at it that's different from what others may be looking at?
Yes, I think so. Although, you know, there's a whole journal devoted to mathematics and music now. Mm-hmm. And just in the last few years, several books have appeared on mathematics mm-hmm. And music. I think I've thought about writing a book on mathematics and music mm-hmm. too, and my point of view would be a bit different mm-hmm. from those. The theme of my talk tonight is at the same time as exploring the connections between mathematics and music, I also want to examine the question, why do mathematicians tend to be musical? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of going to be the theme mm-hmm. behind this putative book mm-hmm. and behind tonight's lecture.
Mm-hmm. So you would make an argument that mathematicians do tend to be musical?
Absolutely, yes. One of the things I'm going to be talking about is, well, for instance, I talked about playing in university orchestras. Mm-hmm. My observation, I've maybe 5 or 6 different universities I've played in their orchestras, drawn from all the students and professors from all departments of the university, presumably, but almost always they're taken from mathematics or mm-hmm. science or engineering mm-hmm. or medicine. Mm-hmm. Almost never do you meet anybody from English or history mm-hmm. or the languages. Mm-hmm. So, and that's universal. I mean, and all the, you know, there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm. Would that be also true in professional orchestras? See, I'm leading up to another question.
Right. Well, maybe your question is going to be, is the converse of this assertion?
Yeah.
No, I claim that mathematicians tend to be musical, mm-hmm. but I do not claim that the converse is true.
But musicians may be also mathematical.
But they may be, but they just haven't pursued it. But no, I do not claim that the converse is true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there particular areas of this interface between math and music that you want to explore further? Are there interesting questions that you'd like to think more about or learn more about?
Yes, yes. I'm one time I gave a similar such talk, and there was a question from the audience that I hadn't thought about before. And he asked, you know, the musical intervals and the ratios of frequencies in certain chords that I'm going to be talking about tonight, that's all very well, but his question was, suppose you've got a major chord and a minor chord. It's the same intervals like mm-hmm. that are happening there, but they're in a different order, and our emotional response is quite different for a major chord mm-hmm. and a minor chord. A major chord sounds happy. A minor chord sounds sad to most people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, mathematics can't distinguish, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell, between the major chord and the minor chord.
Mm-hmm.
The same intervals are, mm-hmm. are involved there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing that maybe this is just a tiny peripheral fact.
Mm-hmm.
But, I want to, if I had the spare time, I think it would take me 2 years to write this book. Well, my calculus book I thought would take me 3 years. It took 7, so maybe the same would be true here. I want to dig more deeply into have the luxury of time to explore and to learn more about music.
Mm-hmm. Are there cultural effects in the sense that Chinese music, Indian music, other kinds of music, would you have, well, there are a number of questions I could ask. One is, would mathematicians be as likely to be interested in that kind of music, or is it particular music that...
Well, on the one hand, Western music being so highly developed in the development of it is, as far as I know, more interesting. But at the very basic level, there are some very interesting questions in the music of other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
like, for instance, ethnomusicologists have analyzed which musical intervals occur in the music of which peoples.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something universal
mm-hmm.
that's happening in music of all peoples?
Mm-hmm.
And that's true. And you learn that certain musical intervals that we think sound really good,
mm-hmm.
other cultures do not. In other words, they're acquired tastes.
Mm-hmm.
The major third and the minor third are acquired tastes.
Mm-hmm.
They do not occur in the music of other peoples.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like a major third and minor third. We think it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
No, there's very, very interesting questions
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Other musical cultures, such as from India, seem to be more rhapsodic. But you know, there's something to be investigated there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, just going back into your own musical background a little bit, you play the violin. Do you do other instruments, other forms of music?
Yeah, keyboard, I play to a lesser extent. I did not grow up with a piano.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't afford a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had grown up in such a household. I now have a piano, and I've taken... I first bought a harpsichord and,
mm-hmm.
and took keyboard lessons on it, and now on a piano I want
mm-hmm.
to do that. But yeah, I would like to
mm-hmm.
pursue that. But that's the only other instrument so far. The violin really is my instrument.
Mm-hmm. What do you like listening to? I mean, you mentioned all kinds of music and so
mm-hmm.
on, but if you wanted to go... I mean, you can have a little concert in your house. Are there
mm-hmm.
certain kinds of things that you would like to present there that you would particularly like to hear?
Yes. I've arranged a concert for next month
mm-hmm.
in which some of the great, arguably the most profound piece of music ever written.
Mm-hmm.
I've programmed a very talented young violinist who's going to play the Bach Chaconne. From the D minor suite for solo violin. And it's many people's desert island disc.
Mm-hmm.
If you were only allowed
yeah.
to take to a desert island one piece of music
mm-hmm.
to listen
mm-hmm.
to,
mm-hmm.
what would it be?
Yeah.
Well, I know several people who have said the Bach Chaconne. There's so much in it. It's just an extraordinary piece of
mm-hmm.
music. So that's programmed.
Mm-hmm.
For this concert
uh-huh.
next month, as well as the Beethoven Kreutzer Sonata for violin and piano,
uh-huh.
which is also, I mean, two great masterpieces that you could listen to as many times as you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about Berghoff's aesthetic measure.
Oh, yes.
You know, measuring how beautiful an art object
yes.
is, including a piece of music.
Yes.
But, you know, my own definition of aesthetic measure that I'm proposing, this index, is the number of times you can stand to listen to a piece of music before you don't want to listen to it again.
Mm-hmm.
And both the Beethoven Kreutzer Sonata and the Bach Chaconne, as far as I'm concerned, they're infinite. I could listen to them
right.
as many times, as,
right.
as far as I know.
Yeah. Although what you may be listening to an infinite number of times when you're young may change as you get to
That's possible.
Later in time, too.
That's possible.
I know
but
little children that can listen to certain songs
oh,
again
yes.
and again and again and again.
Yeah. No, you're right. They don't tire of it.
Yeah.
But,
but that's more of an extreme example.
Right.
Uh-huh. Are there musical things that you yourself want to explore?
What do you mean?
In the sense of your own playing, your own at this stage.
Yes, well, as I'm growing older,
mm-hmm.
arthritis is setting into my fingers,
mm-hmm.
which is limiting
mm-hmm.
my ability to play in tune.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I used to be able to pick up the violin and just like within 30
mm-hmm.
seconds, I'd be all warmed
mm-hmm.
up. My
mm-hmm.
fingers would be agile.
Mm-hmm.
Now it takes me half an hour
mm-hmm.
to get my fingers
mm-hmm.
in all primed
mm-hmm.
to play.
Mm-hmm.
So certain things are beyond me now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my favorite repertoire is the string quartet repertoire
mm-hmm.
and other forms of chamber music as well. So I know the chamber music repertoire pretty well, but there's just such great favorites. I want to continue doing that and to explore other string quartets.
Now, last time I talked with you, you described how much time and effort you've spent on your books and so on. Do you deliberately find time then to include music in all of this? Is that a way of taking a break, or is it part of your routine? How does it fit in with everything else you're doing?
Well, I confess that my books have tended to usurp a lot of my time, and that's another reason, I suppose, why I spend less time now than I used to playing, because of the demands of writing more than one book at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. If I had my druthers, I'd be playing more music.
Although that may come. I mean.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I would like to phase down by my textbook writing by bringing on co-authors to relieve me of some of the time.
Mm-hmm.